sit right back, then you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Way to go, Stan. Nice shot.
All right. Thank you. Not bad for an old dude. We sent that boat to the bottom. I am Stan Hudson.
And I'm John Kurlinski. We'd like to welcome you to another episode of
Sink the Beagle,
where we take lighthearted looks at the serious issues of evolution and creation. Lighthearted because we know no other way.
And they are serious issues of where we came from and ramifications of where we're going. And you know, John, we've been talking about intelligent design for a number of programs. What are we going to talk about today?
Today, Stan, we're going to talk about out there, they're lurking. They're lurking in the cubicles of museums. Oh. They lurk in the ivory towers. They lurk, they are working ignorant forces.
Ignorant forces are at work out there, are they?
They are at work trying to obfuscate the obvious, trying to make the waters of truth murky.
Ooh.
By their scheming designs.
Okay. Talk about intelligent design, huh? Ignorant forces, and you know...
Well, that's the opposite, isn't it?
it is the opposite, and you know... We've talked about a number of programs on intelligent design. We've talked about the movement with Dembski and others that have come up with what they believe scientifically. There it is. What are the chances of all of creation being, just simply evolved from a Big Bang without any sort of supernatural intervention whatsoever? And we talked about that. Intelligent design is not necessarily a biblical standpoint or viewpoint. It's not necessarily a Genesis-oriented thing, but just simply that there must be a God, that God is here.
And many of the people who are in the ID movement are scientists. Mm-hmm. They are just saying, you know, our science mm-hmm. doesn't add up. We believe that it points to something bigger and beyond us, mm-hmm. and they've decided to cast off the shackles of the narrow-minded evolutionary theory.
Well, over against the ID or intelligent design movement, I would like to suggest, here on Sink the Beagle, we'd like to suggest that there is another movement out there, and just what you said, lurking in the cubicles of science departments in various universities around the country, ready to spring their traps. That is the forces of ignorance, the ignorant forces. And if you think about it, John, evolution is simply this, in a nutshell, that forces that have no intelligence behind them, for ignorant forces,
that's material just forces.
Material forces have shaped you and me. Now, come on.
Just the things that did not have us in mind. Out of, like you say, we like to illustrate when we do seminars is that you can put a picture a rock on the table.
That's right.
And give it enough billions of years, and soon it will be a warm puppy.
Warm puppy. Rocks plus time equal warm puppy.
Warm puppies.
Or John and Stan. Now, come on. How could ignorant forces have anything to do with us?
Don't push that too hard. You might make him a believer after all. No.
and seriously, that is, you know, why not come up with a movement to describe material evolution? We'll call it the ignorant forces. Ignorant forces at work. Simply that nature by itself, unguided, undirected, natural law has simply created us.
Yeah, a giant space kablooey has started, and through that, the ignorant forces went to, as we talked about it, the ignorant forces of chemical evolution, the ignorant mm-hmm. forces of elemental evolution, followed by chemical evolution, ignorant forces of prebiotic soup evolution, the mm-hmm. ignorant forces of the starting of life somewhere.
Yes, and then macroevolution.
And macroevolution.
To the acme of John and Stan.
Yes.
They did end
at the right place.
Well, you know, we better not push that one too much. But ignorant forces, and that tells you an awful lot about the people behind it as well, that they believe that ignorant forces would be sufficient to bring all of this to happen. You know, John, I've been working on a model or an illustration to kind of make this point. And, you know, I was raised in Los Angeles and Hollywood movies and everything, and I've got in my mind...
Okay, tell us there, director.
Plot the scene. Okay, here it is. Opening scene. Man sitting on mountainside with rocks all around, contemplating the deep questions of life. Okay?
Duh. There you go. We have him sitting there. I added the audio sound.
He's munching on a donut or something and looking off in space, asking the big questions. Okay, who am I? Where am I going? And where am I going to get another donut? But anyway.
I only got 30 cents.
Suddenly,
I can panhandle.
Suddenly, there's a rustling of the rocks, a minor earth tremor, and a few rocks roll down the hill. And he sees one in particular rolling down, and he studies it. And a little bitty red pebble rolls bang, bang, bang down the hill and then comes face to face with a large white rock sticking out of the ground and smack, bounces off of it. He runs down there to study its impact on the white rock, and he sees a tiny red mark because it was a little red sandstone, and it just go pump, and there's a little red dot, a little red pixel on that white rock.
Now I want to start the next part of his
okay,
trip.
Okay, what happens
then
next?
Then he thinks and schemes, and he runs down to LAX, and he buys a ticket, and he gets on an airliner, and
he takes donuts. He gets donuts, too, on the way.
He's up at the donut factory. Okay. He gets on the airliner, and he flies all the way to Rome.
To Rome, okay.
Because he's seeking answers. And he lands there at Rome, heads off
to the Sistine Chapel?
At Basilica.
Oh, okay.
St. Peter's Basilica.
Okay.
Then what does he do?
Okay, and he takes a look. He looks up above him. He sees this marvelous frescoed ceiling. He looks at it, and he sees creation there and the hand of God and the hand of man reaching across the universe. And he sees red in that ceiling, and he understands that the way that frescoes have pictures in them is because little red rocks roll down the hill and bump against their white surface and create a design.
And the red rocks, then followed by green rocks, and followed by blue rocks, and gray rocks.
And perfect order.
And then some people decide to take all those rocks and stand them up and put them on a ceiling.
Oh, well, okay. Well, don't stretch it. But the but the point is, evolutionists believe, in essence, that lots of little bitty perchance things happening over time have created this picture around what we see. And not only is the picture there all organized with right colors and right dimensions, they're alive and moving and interacting as well.
Yes, it all happened by chance. Given enough billions of
years. Ignorant forces is a beautiful thing.
Ignorant forces create wonderful things.
If you think about it, the Sistine Chapel was therefore created by ignorant forces, because whoever created the Sistine Chapel, Michelangelo, was created by ignorant forces too.
Yeah, it doesn't.
So everything you see is ignorant
forces. Actually, Stan,
we live in an ignorant world, John.
It's getting. We don't need to dumb it down anymore.
Thanks for listening to Sing the Beagle.
There we go. No, so the point is probability.
Yes.
This screams that this can't happen.
Yeah.
And that's why the ID movement did start. They said, wait a minute, come on, slow down. Based on what we do know this didn't happen.
Crunch
we don't
the
know what happened, mm-hmm. but we do know this really isn't a very good explanation. No more than the explanation of the Mona Lisa or the Sistine Chapel or the Last Supper all happened because someone set up a bunch of white rocks or canvases at the bottom of a hill and forces rolled down until they hit it and plucked on it, and we got pictures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it may not, you know. Well, it makes Douglas Adams' book sound more complicatable, you know.
Hitchhiker's
Guide to the Universe sound more reasonable than that, you know.
Well, you know, the Bible, this is not
a
new question. This is not a new question, because from Bible days, people have speculated about ignorant forces and ID and all of this internet and intelligent design. And God is not particularly happy with some of the attitudes and the theories he hears on earth. This is Romans 1. And Paul says this. He says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse.
You know, Stan, that passage speaks not just so much, you know, we use it to describe ignorant forces, but it gives us the reason why the forces are ignorant. It's willful. It's a willful ignorance.
It's a choice.
It's a choice they're making.
It's not just the data saying it. In fact, God is saying, come on now, the data says something else.
Job, long before Paul wrote it, one of the earliest books in the Bible people think that was written was actually the first book, might have been not Genesis, but Job. They believe that there's some scholars believe that there was Mosaic authorship for the book of Job. Now, we don't have to argue that point, but the point is this, if it was an early book, very early on, we know it's an old book.
Right.
That is agreed by scholars.
Yes.
Job, they said it poetically back then. And I would like to think that Moses was writing this, the story of Job, and then Job is saying, now ask the beasts, let them teach you, and the birds of the heavens, let them tell you, or speak to the earth, it will teach you, let the fish of the seas declare to you, who among these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done it? In other words, the created order screams design.
Design, intelligent design.
Intelligent design, in whose hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. It seems to be going up. You can talk to beasts, you can talk to earth, humanity itself screams design.
Well,
does not the ear test words, the palate taste food, you know.
Well, in other words, the language is being said, but the receiving, the ears, people are not listening. They're not picking it up. The same message in Romans 1, that, you know, there is clearly revealed this information.
It's not data.
But it is, but the listeners, and for what reason? And Romans suggests that human pride is the big issue.
Human pride, chasing after our own lusts, changing after our own desires, and not desiring to have some other supreme deity.
Oh, there's no question that that's
over
at
us.
The root. That's the root cause of ignorant force theology, in my opinion, is people don't want God in their lives because they fear some kind of a being that would hold them responsible or accountable for their lives.
They know their moral failures
Us. We all know we're weak. We all know we fail. Now, what do you do with that?
Well, God takes responsibility for evil. The scriptures say that God is going to deal responsibly for the bad choice of humanity.
And he's given us a choice to get out of our situation and hope and help and salvation. And there's talk about intelligent design. There's intelligent design. God has designed a way out. Just like he told Noah, design that ark this way, and if you get in it, you will be safe for the problems that are coming upon the earth. So God is a designer of all good things, including a plan of salvation, a way out of some of earth's problems.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting that the Gospel of John records why that the problem is. It says, the light shines in darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. That's what John declares in the fifth verse of the Gospel of John.
Darkness
doesn't want, but Jesus even goes on more so and says these words, that this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, but men, humanity, love darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil.
Can I put it this way? They loved ignorance more than truth.
Yes. That's John would be very happy with the way you said that.
Oh, good.
He would like that. And so really, ignorant forces because we're afraid. And the interesting thing is the Bible teaches that the perfect love of God, his plan of salvation, can cast out that fear, and we can come out of darkness and embrace the truth of our brokenness and our fallenness, and yet the God who loves and creates and redeems this world and will deal with the issues of evil responsibly.
And we were intelligently designed. We're not here by accident. We have purpose. We have God has a plan for us. I know the thoughts that I have for you, plans for a hope and a future, God has said. So listen next week to another Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time to another episode of Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.